Okay, so wait. Even in that moment, you said, I'm chasing after myself. I'm loving myself. I'm happy with myself. I am confident in who I am. That in itself preaches, because you actually do have to run from, as you were saying, the person that people were telling you you were. Mm-hmm. Because as a child, you don't know better. That's why the Bible says, if you, as a child, you spoke as a child and you did things as a child. Mm-hmm. So there should be always that level of understanding of if a child is misbehaving, okay, this is a child. So now you need to give the child the tools to be better. So it just was disheartening to me to hear how the educational staff did not take the opportunity to give you the tools and the tactics to be that better you,
and
to be that amazing you, to see yourself actually blessed and loved and happy and confident. That was very disheartening.
You know, one thing that just hit me, because again, it's all about, like, you have to look at life, like you said, perspective, right? And a different lens. And looking back on those moments, as much as, like, it shouldn't have happened, if it didn't, imagine if they didn't say anything and they just, like, you know, kind of pushed me to the side and, like, he's just going to be whatever he's going to be. I wouldn't have understood what it felt like to actually get, like, good advice from adults, to actually listen to the right people. Because I had to learn how to listen to the wrong people before I could understand that what they're saying is wrong. And now that, you know, I'm older, I look back at those moments and it's like, yo, I'm glad I got kicked out of my school district. I'm glad I got sent to this alternative school that was African-centered and I learned about who I was. I wasn't going to learn that at the public school. If they would have just kept pushing me along, who knows where I would have been if they just said, we just want to ignore him, ignore his behavior, keep pushing him along. We're not going to expel him. We're not going to kick him out of the school district. Imagine, like, because I was on a path to self-destruction. But again, it's like, I needed to be kicked off that path. And they honestly, in a sense, kicked me off that path, even if they didn't know that they did. And it just goes to show, like, the importance of just, like, knowing and loving yourself, but also knowing what you're not. And I think a lot of people, they might say, I know myself, but do you know what you're not? Do you truly know what you're not? Because you everything right now. You this, you that, you this person, you that person. But what aren't you? And I know now I'm a person that is confident. I'm not a person that doesn't have confidence in myself. I'm not a person that doesn't put myself first, right? And a lot of people, you know, they talk about selfishness around it, because once you get to a certain point and you can help people, selfishness, you know, family says it, when you feel like you are the chosen one. And for me, I feel like, you know, God has chosen me to break certain generational curses, to go off and do certain things, to change the trajectory of my family. Because my family is on a path of self-destruction. And I was on that path too, but I was blessed enough to have so much hate that I was like, man, I'm tired of this. And again, my family always talks about it, you know, you don't come around enough. And it's not because I don't like y'all. I mean, some of them I don't like. It's okay. I don't like everybody. But if I love you, I love you. And I love you. And for me, I always tell them it's because I'm on a mission. And sometimes I need to be locked in and I can't be around distraction or put myself in an environment where something can go wrong. And I always tell people that you got to be selfish, because if you are selfish, it's a reflection of how selfless you are, because the more that you can pour into you, the more that you can give to someone else. And I just remember, you know, being on a plane and hearing someone say, when a mask dropped down, put the mask over your face first as an adult and then your child. I'm like, y'all are tripping. There is a 6-year-old kid, 8-year-old kid that is sitting right next. No, mask on. But then I realized, and it's something that came to my mind, you know, throughout this conversation, which I appreciate you bringing it out, is that, like, oxygen in its simplest form is life. And we can't pour into other people's life. We can't give someone, you know, the ability to truly live if we're passed out. And that's oxygen. That same thing. If you put the mask over the kid and you pass out halfway through, they're not going to know how to do it. The same way the people that need you in your life, you got to be selfish enough to put that mask on and give yourself life, give yourself oxygen first. Because once you have oxygen, then you can help someone else get oxygen. Because even if they're struggling, they're on the brink of passing out, that oxygen mask brings them back to life. When on the brink of self-destruction, you have the bandwidth now to pull them up without them pulling you down. And that's just really what it is. And that's what you brought out. You had me really understand, like, being confident in yourself and I'm ripping off these labels. It's like giving yourself oxygen.
My goodness. It's like giving yourself oxygen. You said oxygen in its simplest form is life. And he breathed the breath of life into Adam. Oxygen in its simplest form is life.
Okay. Life doesn't exist without oxygen.
My God. I am, wow. Like, you had me going. I kept jumping because it was just for me doing the interview. When I start jumping, it's like things are leaping in me. There was so much value to what you were saying. As you were revealing yourself, it was like a mirror that you were holding up, and I actually could see myself in different things. Even in this after party, I am seeing different things that I hear you talking about. I was that 20-year-old mother with my 6-month, 4-month old baby girl, and that stewardess on that airplane as I flew from DC to New York, a 45-minute flight. When she gave that speech about taking that oxygen mask and giving it to yourself and then giving it to your baby that's months old, she acted as though it was a full flight. It's going to New York from DC to New York. It's a full flight.
Oh, yeah,
there was no one else on that plane but me, her, and my baby girl, Shireen. There was no one else. She talked directly to that baby. I know I look like a baby holding a baby, to make sure I understood you got to save you first. And then give to her, because you'll be strong enough, just as you said, to help. The give back to me is real. That's why I, every episode, have taken up the charge of telling people about Bethany House and reminding people that if they're in trouble or they know someone in trouble suffering at the hand of domestic violence, that's why I encourage them to lock that number in. Because if you happen upon somebody, just give them the information. Mm-hmm. Just tell them, listen, reach out, make that call. It's very important, that give back. So I feel as though I wholeheartedly agree. Save yourself so that you're strong enough to help someone else. What is your victory story in your give back help? What is that victory story?
So one of my mentees, I got a good amount of mentees, because I always tell young people, once you with me, you with me for life. You can't get rid of me. I'm like a bad itch that you can't scratch. I'm here. I'm loud. I'm rambunctious. I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'm your coach. I'm whatever you need me to be in that moment, I'm that. And for me, I used to teach job skills and life skills to juvenile probation kids. In my speech, like, I've worked with foster care kids, juvenile probation kids. In my speech, every time I come in, they're in one, I hated that we had our groups in the courtroom because I felt like that was just like bad, like it's yeah. bad environment. Like, why would you have us in a courtroom, in a hearing room at that? So I come in, sit there. Everyone's kind of doing what they're doing. I'm like 25 at the time, 24. And I just sit there and I give the same speech. I tell them, listen, y'all, I'm not a probation officer. I'm not an officer of the court. I do not work in the courthouse. I honestly hate the courthouse. I hate everything about it. I've been here too many times with family members. I hate it. And saying that, I have a job to do. That's to give y'all this information. You have a job to do. It's to be here so that by the end of this, you can get off probation. And I would tell them, I'm not here to judge y'all. I don't care what y'all did. All I know is the only difference between me and you and me and that judge that judges you and me and the lawyer that didn't talk crazy about you and drug you through the mud is y'all either got caught or snitched on. And we just... I'd have done things that should have landed me behind bars, didn't get caught, or someone didn't see me. So I told him, let's get that clear. And then the second thing is, as long as you don't do nothing too crazy, I'm not talking to y'all POs. Because I'm not in the business of keeping y'all on probation because it's a trap. I hit him with that. When I say, like, they went like, they stood up.
Yeah.
And then one student in particular, Josh, he was on probation. We had an 8-week program. And within those 8 weeks, like, the real magic happened when I got to drop all these kids off. Mind you, I'm going all over. We leave around like 6. I don't get home till like 10. I'm doing drop offs all over. But we in the van, you know, plug in music. Put me on the music. They put me on the artist that I still listen to this day. But I just remember Josh is always getting the passenger seat. We chop it up. And eventually he'd be like, yo, can I be the last person you drop off? And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, you live close to me. Like, that works out. And we used to just have conversation, just talking. I talked more about, you know, my business. And this is when Faith and Effort first started, different things like that. I lie to you not. 8 weeks of that program, graduation hit. They all graduated. I had a 100% graduation rate on average. And I got about, over time, over the course of like 3 years, I probably got close to 100, maybe 100 kids off probation. But him in particular, he went from being on probation to graduating high school. And hold on, sorry. He went from being on probation and graduating high school. He invited me to his prom. Mind you, I only know this kid 8 weeks, and we got a session once a week. Like, so mind you, I've been with him 8 times. 2-hour sessions, 2-hour drives, rides home. That's what? 4 hours times 8, 32 hours total. Not even the whole 2 days if you put it all together. He invited me to his prom send-off. And from there, I told him, he invited me to his graduation cookout. And he was going off to school. And I told him, I was like, these 4 years, whatever you need, I'm here. He built a business because we've connected. He built a clothing business called Uncommon Clothing. And he graduated college last year.
Come on.
Earlier this year, May. He graduated college in May.
Wow.
And for me, that has been a proud moment because I seen myself and him as someone that was written off. And I will always look back. And to this day, we literally text, talk, play video games. We're actually connecting this week, and I'm heading back home to Coachville, PA. And he's like, yo, let's chop it up. I'm in this adult life now, and I'm trying to get things together. I was like, I got you until the wheels fall off. Like, until I'm 6 feet under, and even then, I still got you. I'm going to ask God for a favor. Hey, just, can I dip out for a little bit? I got to go check on some people. And I truly believe that, and that's everybody I connect with. Like, if you truly tap in with me and you really want what I have to give, I'm here. I always tell people my door is always open. It's a revolving door.
Yeah.
It could be 2023 now, and if you don't hit me up till 2025, it's because it's season and you need something from me. I got you. And it doesn't feel like it's using because it's genuine. Mm-hmm. Like, he always tells me, like, yo, like, you mean so much to me. I appreciate everything. Like, he tells me, like, my life has changed because just being connected with you. And for me, that's all I need. I tell him I don't need nothing else. Mm-hmm. I don't need free clothes because I'm paying for it. I don't need nothing from you. I just need you to be who you want to be. Yeah. And truly believe that, like, you can be it because you came from. Look where you came from. Look where you truly came from and where you at now.
Yeah.
And that's just a reflection. Like, I went to school, Sankofa, the alternative school. It's called Sankofa. And it means go back and fetch or go back and give back. So, like, that Sankofa bird means go back and fetch. So yeah. I'm going back and I'm getting my young people. I got y'all. Because somebody did it for me. And I always tell people, why you do it? Because somebody did it for me. Without them, I don't know where I would be.
Yeah.
So I got, like, I got to.
Can you answer this for me? What does faith in effort, where did you get that title from?
Interesting story. May 2017, supposed to graduate, lost my mom in January. Or no, lost my mom in February. And I didn't graduate. So from February, end of February, up until December, deep depression, isolation, thoughts of suicide, all these different things. And I was sitting in my grandparents' kitchen because I had moved back home at the time. And I was tired. I was tired of being depressed. I was tired of not feeling like myself. I was tired. And I truly believe, like, my mom came down, gripped me up by my neck, and smacked me in the back of my head. Like, listen, it's time. And I was like, I need to create something for myself that gives me, that brings me, you know, that brings me some hope in life. And then faith and effort, like, hit me like a ton of bricks. When I say this was my first name of the business, it didn't have anything else. It had, the only thing that has altered, and not even a lot, was the logo. I took off, like, it was like a heart on it that connected the F and then the T. I took that, but literally only name. It wasn't like I was like, oh, I need to create a business. Honestly, faith and effort didn't even start off as a business. It was because my mom, before I even believed in myself, she always believed in me. And she always told me, if you want something, go after it. So faith, the belief in yourself. Some people can use it spiritually. The belief in yourself or the belief in a higher power. And effort. Go after it. Put in work. Understand that everything is going to require work. And if you want to actually achieve something in life, you got to put in that work. And then from there, it went from just me making videos of projecting how I feel and projecting the things that I've gotten through to, like, people are hitting me up in my DMs like, yo, I needed that. Yo, like, I found your page and you're just so inspirational. So, like, none of this was planned. The business, the speaking, the consulting, the name, nothing was ever like sat down and I made a business plan. None of that. It was literally to get me out of my depression. And that was the one thing when I think about my mom, that's the one thing she always told me. It was embarrassing. She had a blown up picture of me with a bio from my scholarship dinner. They had blew up a picture. like, and she just always telling everybody, had it in the middle of the living room at my sister's house, and it was just like, yo. But she was just like, sat me down. She was just like, I need you to be the one. She sat me down and was like, out of all my kids, I need you to go to school. I need you to go to college. I need you to do something different, because I didn't even want to go to college. I was about to join the Army. I was about to just say, I'm not going to school again. I don't want to deal with that. And I just remember my mom said, like, I just need you to go to school. And then God did the rest. God made a phone call that changed. I was about to sign a dotted line. I passed all the tests. I was physically fit. I did everything. I was literally about to sign a dotted line. And I got a call from the same organization, the Coachville Youth Initiative, that changed my life. In the summer of my ninth grade year at 14 years old, I got a call at 18 years old asking me, they said, you got two options. You're about to age out of the program. You can either do one more year or you can be an associate coordinator at the organization. And they gave me my first like salary type job. Well, it was hourly, but it was the most money I ever made. But literally I was in front of an Army man about to sign, had the pen in my hand, and once you sign it,
that's it.
You sign it. And I didn't even want to go in the Army. I just didn't want to go to school. So I felt like I had to do something. And my dad was in the Army, my grandpa was in the Army, why not? And that call saved me from making a decision that I didn't even want to make. Because at that moment, it introduced me to youth development. At 18 years old, I was working with 40 kids. 40 young kids between the ages of 14 and 18, even up to my peers. Leadership development program, 8-week program, Monday through Friday, placed them at job sites, served as the supervisor for them, payroll, learned so much. And then from there, it was just like, boom. So like so much stuff has led up to every moment. But yeah, that's how, long story short, Faith Never was never planned. It was a gift. It was a saving grace. It was a saving grace for me. And now I want to use that as a saving grace for other people. That's why I embody what I embody and the message that I have. And I travel as a speaker. And I don't mind getting on a call with anybody that's just asking me for help. Because I never know what you're actually going through. And then if that can save you, that can be your saving grace, I'm serving my purpose.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I feel like I'm sitting here going, he's the boy version of you, because that's how you got my company name. My son and I started a company. And the name came to me after I was giving the decision to make the name to someone else. I gave them that decision. God woke me up at 2:00 in the morning. Inheritance of Praise. What? Inheritance of Praise Global Production. I said, how am I global in my one bedroom apartment?
It's the vision.
He said, just do what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, Inheritance of Praise Global Production. I wrote it, and then all I could see was, I owe praise. I owe praise.
And that's it right there.
And that's how I started. There were no other titles written, thought of. I literally had to call a meeting and tell the person, I know I told you yesterday, but God met me 2:00 in the morning. Let me tell you what happened was. Mm-hmm. And then I shared, and he was like, what can I say if you tell me that God gave this to you? If you preface it that way, I have no argument. He was like, I was just going to sit down with a notebook and just work some titles and come back. Because I was like, you can contribute something. I got my daughter. I got my son. I want to invite you in. And again, I thought this was a music nothing. That was my guitarist I was talking to. It's much bigger than what I thought. That's why global production, because now Inheritance of Praise produces my podcast. Wait, what? There's no music out yet. There is no music out yet. And I'm like, how are we? We're here. And we're here.
One thing, it's a production. When you hear that, there's so much you can do. It's the putting on of something.
Yes. Come on here.
The putting on of something. The production is the putting on of something. And that's what you're doing. This is the first leg.
Yes.
It's the first leg.
Thank you. I accept that. I accept you speaking into my life.
You never know what it's going to grow into. Just allow it to grow.
Yeah.
Allow it to grow free and just see what happens.
Yes.
Because it's just going to grow. It's going to grow like a wild tree.
Yes. And that's the thing. It's just like Myron Golden said, you just have to have expectation. I tell people that I believe everything has two sides to it. I believe everything is a two-sided coin. So you can take that same expectation and flip it and end up on tails. And you can have high expectations of bad things happening to you all the time. Things not going your way. That's not going to come through. They're not going to do that. This always happens to me. So you can have high expectations of bad, or you can flip that coin and let it land on heads. And you can think higher, and you can sit in that high place in Christ and see great things happening for you. Mm-hmm. And that's where I choose to sit every day, every day.
Listen, bring it on, the good, the bad. I got an armor that God has given me. Like, I always tell myself, if I can get through losing both my parents, I can do anything. Like, there's something that might bend me, but I ain't breaking.
Yeah.
Like, I done felt the lowest of the low. There ain't nothing lower than that. So I always tell myself, like, when I'm really in something and I start to really get down, I like, all right, we could pull ourselves up from this because this ain't nothing. So I tell myself it took me like maybe 48 hours to really shift out of a thing that I was in.
Yeah.
And I locked in. I was like, allow my emotions to go. Lucky I had like a 4 or 5 hour car ride. Allow my emotions to exist, process them. I lock back in.
Yeah.
Time to go. Time to put the red hat on. Time to put the hoodie on. This is my armor. This is what protects me. Let's go. Let's get it. And now I'm refocused on a whole different level. Now I'm refocused on a whole different level, and I'm in a different bag. Like my man Chris said, and he actually tapped into the podcast. He texted me. He was like, yo, I just got finished a gig. I caught the tail end, but like I learned something. Mind you, he got like 10 years on me. So it's like for him to give me the flowers that he's gave me over these past month or two, and it just tell me like I'm just operating on a different level. He told me I was elbow deep in not just a regular bag, but a Louis Vuitton bag. I was like,
hey.
I appreciate that. You told me I was in a Louis bag. Like, okay, I'm cooking with fish grease now.
Yeah.
I ain't just canola
oil,
peanut oil. I'm cooking with fish grease, something in a pot, just cooking.
Yeah,
And that's when I know, like, all right, bet, like that's when I know, like, okay, when I'm making right decisions in life.
Yes, yeah, it's amazing you when you made that change. And that change was you choosing the better you. Mm-hmm. You chose to go with the higher you. You chose to go with the confident you. You chose to go with the motivated, excited, impactful you. But you have to choose that.
Power of choice. Greatest power. We have.
So, just to hear how everything changed from a choice.
One decision turns into two, turns into three. As I always tell people, one decision. Like, just start with one and see how it feels. And if you like it, make another decision in that direction, right? Then make another decision. And then you start to make decisions on autopilot. Like,
you build that muscle. It's like lifting weights. You build that muscle and then it becomes easier to do. Being in business now for me, it's becoming easier to do. And I can literally say my mental bandwidth is really stretching beyond the lazy me I used to be. I can honestly say, it's like, oh, you were lazy. You you procrastinated on purpose. You plan to procrastinate. You're like, oh, okay. I'm going to do this first and then I'm going to get to that. And by the time it's time to get to that, yeah, it's 12 o'clock. I'm going to go to bed. Then I have to get back and start doing all the things of life. And then it just keeps, I keep doing it. And I had to realize I was doing it on purpose. Then I had to stop and look at myself and say, why are you doing it? And we're back at your mother going, you're the one. You're the chosen one. Because for me, that was the call that came from my grandma. She didn't use those words, but I sang. I went to a performing arts school, and then I went to a conservatory. And these are top entities that I went to. If you're in DMV, you want to get into Duke Ellington. And if around the world you're in the arts, the school to get into, 400 students, and I was one of the 8 Black students there. Juilliard. Yeah.
Let's go.
My grandmother, when Oprah was doing the show and she was really spotlighting artists and singers, my grandmother called my mother, and my grandmother don't play with her long distance. You gonna run up her electricity. You know, this is back when you paid for every moment on that phone. Like, there was an operator going.
During thunderstorms, because they used to tell you get electrocuted. Now I'll be looking back like, Black people be lying.
Yeah.
Black people be lying. And
They made stuff up to instill the fear needed in us to keep us safe. I feel. I really do feel. And so she was like, yeah, if I tell you that runs up my, close my door, you running up my bill, close. They gave you the reason why. They didn't just say close the door because I said, because then the next generation came and they said, do it because I said, do it. They didn't give a story. So then there was our generation where we were just free willy with it. Now I'm going to believe whatever you say. What that teacher say? What did you say happened? Oh, I'm going back up there and I'm going to. And everything went left. See, don't get me on that tan. See, that you get me side. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm going to go back to where I was. My grandmother, much like your mother looking you in the face, my grandmother sent the message to my mother. Grandma Ski said, you need to call Oprah. You need to go on that show. I ran. I hid. I've had my cousin call me and say, can you come sing at the wedding? I heard the message and I didn't respond. And my sister was like, yo, he looking for you. He wants you to sing at his wedding. Why? Answer the call. I didn't realize that I was actually not as confident in myself as everyone could hear I should be. They could hear the value. They could hear the richness. They could hear the glory that came through. But I didn't feel it. So I was like, I don't know if it's going to show up again. I'm not confident that if I go there and I sing, I'm going to be able to show up the way that it happened that time. Like, I didn't have confidence in the reproduction of greatness happening through me. Now I sing with this in mind. I'm just here to have a good time. If it sounds amazing, it's awesome. But guess what? If I told you I was coming and I'm here and it sounds awful, that means I need to sit down and figure out, what did you do? What didn't you do? Mm-hmm. How can we make sure this doesn't happen again? But then I also found out that there are times that I am in rooms singing and God won't allow my gift to shine on purpose. Because as I keep going to the room, I start to realize, like you were talking about, those people that actually weren't your friends. Mm-hmm. As an adult, as recently as December, I had to disconnect from something because I realized, yeah, this isn't the space for me. Mm-hmm. The way we met, that pre-conversation is not what I'm getting now. So I realized the toxicity of the environment that was there in reference to me. It seemed like everyone else in the room got love, and I got scolded for the thing that you brought me there because you said, your voice is amazing, but it seemed like that person was actually jealous of me. I couldn't place. I'm like, is it me? Why does it, every time everybody else in the room is around, I get talked to in a certain manner that is not becoming or befitting or encouraging to make me believe that I'm really wanted in this space? But God would not, I'm telling you right now, I would sing every Sunday at two churches. Everything came out nice. I would get to this space and it never, ever panned out. Only the first time, because the first time I sang to his glory. The next time, yeah, you think you can do something else? Because this is going to be the topic. And I was like, oh, okay, I got you. And, you know, I sing. As long as it's not raunchy and derogatory, I'm good. As long as it's telling a story and at the end of that story, somebody can go, good, I'm not the only one that went through that. And I can see, hear how you made it out. I'm good with singing. It would not... I would pick songs and it just would not go over well. It was everything that could happen to a vocalist, the room being dry, my vocal cords feeling tense, the me not being able to hear. And if I can't hear the music, how am I going to sing to the music? It was like everything worked against me. And it just took time for me to sit down and go, I'm not supposed to be here.
Hey, listen, people, we have to understand, even the most talented people in the wrong environment, it makes you look mediocre. Like, it makes you look mediocre. And I know that feeling of being in the wrong environment where you start to believe, like the things that you feel, because it's like a feeling, right? It's like, dang, like I'm not performing the way I know I can. Well, did I lose it? Am I this? Am I that? It's like when sports players get traded to certain teams and they go from like amazing to like not good. And people understand, like, you know, like it's just crazy. But like, yeah, I'm glad that you were able to see that and not let it, again, change your view on yourself. Like you really allowed yourself to sit down and figure it out.
Yes. It has been an amazing night. I appreciate you sharing the time, taking the time from your family to be here.